Welcome to the 20th edition of the 10-Minute TikTok Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brinkman, and we're actually going to flip the script on you a little bit. Since the year has done that to all of us, we're going to change up our podcast a little bit here today. We actually don't have a guest that we normally have from the industry, but Steve and I are actually going to carry on a conversation. I'm going to give him a few questions. Wanted to remind you real quick here that we've had a number of great guests on. So again, this is our 20th podcast. Make sure you check out the other podcasts when you get time. We start out with John Spolstra, and he is still today the leader in the clubhouse in terms of number of total downloads. But also, too, keep in mind that we only have 90 days to listen to these before we actually make them exclusive to our clients with the Ultimate Toolkit. So be sure to check those out when they're released each week. And so I have Steve DeLay here, the co-author of the Ultimate Toolkit, also the owner of the Macon Bacon, and now the Florence Red Wolves. I'm going to jump into 2020 here, Steve, in just a second, but I want to just say I do remember I was actually on a beach in the Dominican looking at the ocean and having probably some sort of fruity cocktail drink when I heard the news about March Madness canceling, and not long after the NBA canceling their season, Tom Hanks having COVID, and on. But can you just kind of tell us, you know, obviously without using too many of the buzzwords of pivot and unprecedented and silver lining and some of those, can you just tell us kind of, you know, what your thoughts were when the news broke and kind of where you thought at the time the sports industry would be going?
Well, let's just be clear. There is no silver lining to 2020. It cannot get over fast enough. But it is kind of funny. I remember back in March and our Macon, we only had Macon. Florence, we didn't purchase until October. But back then we were like, okay, we'll see how this plays out. Our season doesn't start till early June. No big deal. And as it went, and then the state of Georgia, which was one of the last ones to kind of close up shop, said, all right, everybody out of your office, you got to go home. So we had to figure out, all right, now we're working from home. How do we keep salespeople productive? And then we were lucky enough to actually go back to work in Georgia at the end of April and manage the process from there. But all the way up to, goodness, probably June 10th, June 12th, we were still thinking, hey, are we going to play? Are we not going to play? Our season was originally scheduled to start June 1st, and we didn't decide to delay that until about May 10th. And then we shifted and issued a schedule starting July 1st. And even in mid-June, we were still going, can we do it? Can we not do it? And who would have thought, here we are middle of December, end of December, we're all still sitting here going, goodness gracious, we're still not playing in front of fans. We're still having these problems. But at this point, with vaccines coming out, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that by next June of 2021, both the Red Wolves and Macon Bacon are playing at full capacity.
Yeah, now that we are here in December, I mean, what lessons do you think the sports industry can take into 2021 and potentially beyond with this, you know, pivot, there it is, the word, but with this change that we've had to make in the industry? I mean, what do you think we can take into that new year?
Well, there's a couple things that I think, actually, I take it back. There are some silver linings. One is everybody had to lay all their staff off. And what that gave them the ability to do, or will give them the ability to do when they bring them all back eventually, is they got rid of the stiffs. They got rid of the people who were just kind of holding down a chair, maybe weren't really producing at the level that the team wanted them to. And those people have gone on to do something else. So this will allow teams, when they do get in the position of bringing staff back, especially salespeople, to bring salespeople back with a fresh perspective, a new energy and new ideas. Whereas before, if you'd had somebody who'd been there for 4 or 5 years, they might've started to lose their enthusiasm. The other thing I think this is gonna really do for teams, because every team, and I speak as the guy sitting in the chair of an owner and also the guy sitting in the chair as a consultant, every team has less resources. None of us generated virtually no resources or limited. So you gotta do way more with way less. And what that means is for teams that used to have 20, 30, 40 salespeople, or even teams in my league that had 4 or 5, now it's how do you do it with 2 or 3? And how do you use digital ticket sales strategy? How do you use social media engagement to get people to buy things from you? The Savannah Bananas are doing an unbelievable job using TikTok as a way to reach and engage their fans and selling a crazy amount of merchandise that way, which makes up for a lot of what they lost in the 2020 season in terms of ticket sales revenue and concessions revenue. So that creativity, yeah, you got to do the other events now. You couldn't play baseball, the socially distanced drive-in movie and stuff like that. But, you know, those aren't really good revenue makers. The teams that really are going to go into this strong are the ones who who are going to refine their ticket sales strategy to sell successfully with way less investment, whether it's personnel or marketing dollars, and the teams who have uncovered other ways to really generate huge amounts of revenue without forgetting their core business, which is really running a sports team.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we've even talked about some of that in our past podcasts with, you know, virtual events and things that Seattle Storm and others have done. What is your take on kind of like the virtual selling of the where teams are at currently? And is that here to stay potentially?
No, I hate it. In fact, earlier today, I did a naming rights presentation via Zoom. And what you lose with a virtual sales call is the emotion, the passion, the ability to build a rapport with your prospect. And it all becomes nuts and bolts. It all becomes facts and figures. And it's like now somebody's buying, making a decision whether it's to buy tickets or buy an advertising partnership based on facts and figures and not emotion. It's like they're buying like industrial equipment. And it's all about the price and all about the specifications. So I'm a believer. Those people who are saying, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go to online sales and that's going to be the future. Zoom's great. Use it all the time. But I think once everybody gets a vaccine, people are inoculated and back to normal, I think people are going to be chomping at the bit to go have social interaction, go meet people face-to-face and have that engagement again. So for a team, it's short-term, you may have to really figure out how to sell via Zoom. Long-term, you really got to make sure your salespeople are polished, professional, and prepared to get back into that face-to-face type environment. I don't think that's going to go away because I think human nature is we crave social interaction and face-to-face sales calls are part of that.
You mentioned a couple times the Florence Red Wolves, and congratulations again on that and having a second team. Obviously, a lot of people in sports probably have had, you know, Madden franchises over the years and video games and have had fantasy football squads that they're running and things like that, but obviously don't get to the point of actually owning a summer collegiate team or really a team in any league. Tell us a little bit about that process. Like how was it to find the right opportunity and go through the ballpark scenario? What is that process like from an owning perspective?
Well, there's positives and negatives. The positive is you get to control your own destiny. You're not answering to anybody else. You don't have a crazy owner who has crazy thoughts and crazy philosophies and demands crazy ideas from you. It's a snap, the Tuesday game that has a 1/3 capacity. I can't go to myself and say, hey, Steve, go give away thousands of tickets to get people to show up because I know that's a terrible idea. The negative is I'm also on the hook for everything. So the worst time to be owning a sports franchise is when you're not playing in front of fans or you're playing in front of, in our case, in Macon, 1/3 capacity. But it's unique because Macon was a brand new team, essentially an expansion team in a brand new market. And that was a unique startup opportunity to say, could we make it work? Could we deliver? Florence is a little bit different because Florence is an existing team that had not really operated very efficiently. The person, previous owner, who's a fantastic guy, was a full-time attorney. And he operated with one employee, and the employee wasn't really overly experienced. So the cool thing about Florence is saying, can we take the philosophies and strategies of the Ultimate Toolkit, both on the sponsorship side and the ticket sales side, and make a difference? Can we turn it around? And quite frankly, we've owned the team since mid-October. So in 2 months, we've already sold more than 200 five-game plans. That's 200 more than they sold last year. We've already had some of the sponsors that were there in 2019. The Red Wolves didn't play in 2020 due to COVID. But we've had some sponsors go up 4 and 5 times their investment because of the philosophy and strategy we're presenting to them, what we're going to do. And I think as we get closer to the start of the season and we start to get some milestones of success, naming rights deal for the new stadium, groundbreaking for the new stadium, selling out some of our ticket packages, selling out opening night and the second night, people all of a sudden are going to go, oh my gosh, this is cool, this is different. And for me, it's kind of neat because it's an opportunity to say, could we take the same philosophies and strategies in a turnaround that we did in a startup? Obviously, we had great success my previous life with the Dayton Dragons, Frisco Rough Riders, in terms of startups. I go back to the start of my career at the New Jersey Nets with John Spoelstra when we had a turnaround. And it works. These philosophies and strategies work, whether it's startup or turnaround. It's a little nerve-wracking in terms of how fast do they work. You're staring at not only the sales report, but also the bank account. But you know what? That's part of the fun. Nobody ever, ever got wildly successful working for somebody else, unless you were Steve Ballmer, who happened to be working for his college roommate, still had all the stock options for Microsoft.
Very true. So you have the unique background of you've been in the ticket sales space as well as the sponsorship space. I mean, you've been in a lot of meetings over those years. Which one do you like doing the best? Do you have a preference on ticket sales or sponsorship?
Sponsorships are sexier, obviously, but ticket sales is actually, I tell you what I really like. It's taking young ticket salespeople and seeing them grow and learn and become professionals and really get good at it. And even in Macon, and if she's listening, she'll hate me for this, but we had a young woman as a salesperson, Kara Rose, who was fantastic as an outside salesperson. So I'd go on some sales calls with her, and I always tell my staff going in, you're the play-by-play person, I'm the color commentator. So my job is to fill in the blanks and make it sound interesting, but you're gonna go through all the nuts and bolts. So and I also say, don't introduce me as Steve, the owner of the team, introduce me as Steve, one of your colleagues, because I don't want the prospect to pay attention to me. So we walked into a meeting, sat down. She said, hey, I really appreciate you seeing this. My name's Kara, this is my colleague, Steve. And then she froze for about 5 seconds and then just stared at me. And I kind of filled in, it was almost like jump started it. And about 5 seconds later, she gear kicked in and she said, she went through the whole process. And that she has ended up being a very, very successful salesperson. So from a ticket sales side, the cool part for me is teaching, guiding, coaching. You guys that were in Frisco, like Michael Drake, Matt Goodman, some of those guys. On the sponsorship side, the cool part is giving people, presenting things to people that they never thought possible and asking for way more money than anybody would ever dreamed imaginable and actually getting it. And we've been able to do that. I've probably done 5 or 6 naming rights deals in my career. We've got one on the table in Florence that I think will be unique and a shock around the world for summer collegiate baseball. But those are the cool challenges, is that can we do things that nobody's ever believed before on the sponsorship side and get more money than everybody ever dreamed imaginable?
What would you say, with all those meetings you've been in, what would you say is the most surprising meeting? I guess could be good or bad. Is there a memory that sticks out in some of these meetings you've been in?
That's a great question. I have had some where we went in and asked for a crazy amount of money. And the way I always make the presentation is we go through all the details and I flip the proposal open to the last page and don't say what the price is. I just hand it to him. And I did have one where I handed it to the guy and I know the guy was joking, but he literally fell out of his chair. And he got up going, oh my God, are you crazy? It was like cough, I could barely swallow this. But it was, he did it kind of tongue in cheek. So those are the fun ones, but then they always stop and say, you know what, this is pretty good value. I may not be able to afford it, but this is pretty good value. And on the ticket sales side, I go back to one that was great. When I was a young guy at the New Jersey Nets, we used to always say to businesses, hey, it'll take me 10 minutes to explain this idea and how I can help your business. I walked into an office, I had a meeting with a guy, and the company's name was Gruntle & Company. It was a Wall Street investment banker. Walked into the meeting with the executive vice president. Somebody sticks her head in as soon as I sit down and say, hey, Ed, are you free soon? And he holds up a hand and says, 5 minutes. So I knew I had 5 minutes to go through my pitch, give this guy a reason to buy, and he did. And he ended up being a ticket sales customer for me the entire time I was at the Nets. But it was like, you got to be quick, you got to be on your toes, and you got to be fast to be able to deliver for people.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great segue, because I know you and I have been working since March really on creating some new online programs, both on the B2B side as well as the digital side, and trying to kind of help bring those to the teams here as we roll into 2021. You want to just kind of touch on those two programs that we developed?
Well, it's interesting you say that. One of the things in a lot of my career since I left Mandalay was sales training. And I think for at least the next year or two, the idea of crowding all the salespeople into a tight conference room and everybody talking over each other and having someone like me stand in front of you and spend 2 days talking about sales training and role-playing and practicing, just because of the environment now, I don't think that's going to happen. So what we decided to do is we said, let's take all that sales training material, let's put it online. Let's turn it into an online resource where now teams don't need to pay me a crazy amount of money to come visit and do that in a crowded conference room. They don't need to schedule me out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months in advance. But what they can do is get the exact same material and the exact same information and also the exact same feedback from me, because I still watch all their videos and give them commentary and feedback on it embedded in their video. And they can do it starting tomorrow. So it's this is one of the new unique things that the pandemic has created is online training, online education, and comfort with online stuff is dramatically different than what people were used to. And it's not only for teams specifically, but also for leagues. One of the things we're going to kick off right after the first of the year is a way for leagues through their database of people who are on their teamwork database, follow them on LinkedIn or social media channels, to actually go through that same training, but have the league sales managers review the videos, identify people that they might be interested in hiring, and the leagues can then build basically their own database of candidates to hire that have already been trained. And they've already seen them and watched their videos. So as soon as those teams are ready to hire, they can do it in a split second as opposed to take weeks or months to hire and get people up and running.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and that's, you know, there's obviously a lot of people who are out of jobs or just coming out of school, and it's going to be kind of a fierce environment, obviously, as people want to continue to be in sports. And as sports come back, that's a great way to kind of help stand apart and really show that they're interested in and show what they can do for teams. So that's great. So what is your prediction, I guess, for 2021 in the sports industry? I know we talked a little bit about the lessons learned, but do you have any predictions of what you think the next few months and in the next year ahead could look like?
Predictions are always a crapshoot, as we've seen in the last 9 months, as people predicted different things related to coronavirus. But one of the things I would expect is the teams that just sold tickets to fans, to people who, you know, if their team was successful, they're winning championships or competing for division titles, and they really didn't have a specific sales strategy or process, and they really weren't focused on the fan experience, I think they will struggle. Because what's happened over the last year is a lot of sports fans have realized, you know what, I haven't gone to any games, I haven't really missed it. So if I was used to paying, if I was an NBA season ticket holder, paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for season tickets, and I didn't get to go this year, and they didn't miss it, I'm not going to come back. And I think this lower level teams, minor league baseball, the Coastal Plain League like I'm in, minor league hockey, if they've been focused on the fan experience and the atmosphere and going to a game is much more of a, let's just go out and have a good time, as opposed to I'm going to go spend a crazy amount of money and my team better win. I think those teams are going to rebound very well because they're a social outing for fans. They are not about my team better be successful and I'm a crazy big fan, because those crazy big fans who haven't gone to a game may not be as crazy big fans anymore, or they've realized, you know, it's okay to watch it on TV and I can save that crazy amount of money that I've been spending on season tickets. So I think sports teams are going to have to wake up and really realize that they've got to deliver a great fan experience and they've got to have a really well thought out, articulated sales and marketing strategy to connect with their key target audiences and offer them products that actually have value. Quite frankly, a lot like what we're doing in Florence. We had to do it in Florence because the team didn't play in 2020. So we had to come out with big value-added products and reach out directly one-on-one to people to get them interested in us. We weren't able to be in a position to wait.
Absolutely. Well, congrats on your early success in Florence there too, and your continued success with the Bacon as well. So, well, good. Well, I think we'll kind of wrap it up here. I wanted to mention that as Steve had talked a little bit about on the digital and B2B programs, obviously, there's more information on our website, theultimatetoolkit.com. Feel free to reach out to me, Michael Brinkman at theultimatetoolkit.com or Steve DeLay at theultimatetoolkit.com. As Steve mentioned, he's not an attorney. We don't charge by the hours. We'd love just to connect with people and share a demo or even an online beer together or whatever it might be. Happy to share ideas. And we just want to see the continued success, obviously, of the sports industry moving ahead. Steve, any final thoughts you wanted to kind of add in as well?
So I think the key for 2021 for teams is they're going to have to be ready to turn on a dime as soon as they get the ability to go play. And we're seeing it with the NBA. The NBA is not playing in front of fans early on, but at some point the switch is going to get flipped on. It's like you got 2 or 3 weeks to go play with fans. So teams have to be ready. They may not be able to hire people right now, but they got to be ready with the process to hire. They got to be ready with the process to train. They got to be ready with the products already laid out. It can't just happen organically because there's going to be a really narrow window for these teams to turn this around. And if they come out and attendance is down 20 or 30%, like TV ratings are down right now, if we see teams playing in the summer with attendance down dramatically, all we're going to read and hear about is, whoa, the sports industry is dead, nobody's going to games, blah, 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 blah. And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So be ready early. Even if you can't pull the trigger and execute, be ready, be prepared to go. And like Michael said, we're happy to have the conversation, what it takes for you to be ready. I don't charge by the hour or the 10-minute phone call. I'm just here to help.
Great. Well, thanks. And thanks again for everybody who's joined us here in 2020. We look forward to chatting with you more in 2021 through the 10-Minute TikTok podcast. Happy holidays, everybody, and we'll see you in the new year.